Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. It's been a turbulent 18 hours in Panama as figurehead president Eric Arturo Del Valle first fired his political godfather, General Manuel Noriega, only to find himself with no backing from the Noriega-controlled military and National Assembly. Early today, it was President Del Valle who found himself fired by the Assembly, replaced by Education Minister Manuel Solis Palma, now the acting president. However, Del Valle vowed to fight to maintain his power. Producer Andy Trier says the Assembly did more than strip Del Valle of his powers.
They've taken away his guards, his escorts, his chauffeurs. He's basically a man sitting at his house, an ex-president. Surprisingly, General Noriega has not made any kind of statement. The rumor is that he is holed up in one of his bunkers or just waiting it out there to see what happens.
President Del Valle is now with us by telephone from Panama City. President Del Valle, I understand that you still insist that you are the president.
Yes, I am. Last night, National Assembly had a session in which they decided that my ouster, General Noriega, was invalid. That the reason I did that because I was being influenced by foreign countries, and that on that basis they would decide taking me out. That is a foolish assertion, and I still consider myself the president of Panama.
Will you need American help to maintain your office or to regain power?
Definitely, in the sense that I must have a full support of all the Republicans and the Democrats in the United States of the country, saying and raising their voice with respect to democracy and to a civilian government.
Quickly, sir, would that include military backing from the United States?
No, I do not deem that would be required.
President Del Valle, who spoke to us from Panama City. On the surface, that city is calm as people there wait to see what comes next. The new president, a Noriega loyalist, denounced what he called the campaign of lies against Panama, suggesting it's coming from the U.S. U.S. military personnel, however, have been urged to be careful, and a spokesman for the Southern Command gave us this situation report.
We have no reports of any incidents involving U.S. cities, citizens in the city. We had some reports of scattered demonstrations early last night. However, no reports of any incidents involving U.S. citizens.
And through all this, Washington is also watching and waiting.
This is Jacqueline Adams at the White House. Reagan administration officials have refused so far to react publicly to the turmoil overnight in Panama, but they are keeping a close eye on events there. Here in Washington, Panama's ambassador, Juan Sosa, is continuing to back ousted President Del Valle. But he's opposed to either military or economic intervention by the United States.
I don't think that the United States have any business intervening in the affairs of Panama, much less with an armed intervention. I would oppose such a move.
Since General Noriega was indicted on drug trafficking charges in Florida earlier this month, the U.S. has been increasing the pressure on him to step down. Noriega has not been heard from overnight, but New York Senator Alphonse D'Amato is now calling for drastic action, if only to protect American assets and the 30,000 U.S. servicemen and their dependents in Panama.
We've got to put our troops on a full military alert, let Lord Noriega know that we're not going to allow him to harass U.S. citizens, we're not going to allow him to interfere with the operation of the canal, and be prepared to take whatever action necessary as it relates to the safety of our citizens and certainly the Panama Canal.
At this point, White House officials aren't discussing the options they're considering for Panama. So far, they're only offering moral support for civilian constitutional rule there. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, the White House.
On the Israeli-occupied West Bank today, Israeli troops shot and killed an Arab schoolteacher and a youth and wounded several others in clashes that followed Friday prayer services. In East Jerusalem, hundreds of Palestinians gathered on the Temple Mount shouting anti-Israeli slogans and throwing stones. It was against this background that Secretary of State Schultz today began his round of peace talks in Jerusalem. Wyatt Andrews reports.
Day one of the Schultz shuttle in the Middle East is a shuttle among Israel's leaders. So far, there seems to be a truce on saying anything negative in public. Even Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir, who opposes both an international peace conference and early negotiations over withdrawal from the occupied territories, today described his talks with Schultz as friendly and thorough.
I hope that in the end we will have some positive outcomes.
The shuttle then went across town to the office of Foreign Minister Shimon Peres, an ally of Schultz's proposal. He too made it a point to sound hopeful.
I think there are many openings. I think there is a great deal of work to be done.
One of Schultz's greatest obstacles, however, is the changing relationship between Shamir and Peres. Their split over Schultz's peace proposals has grown so heated, their national unity government may not survive. There have been backroom negotiations over calling early elections in Israel this summer, well in advance of scheduled elections in November. An odd twist. At the very moment Schultz seeks Israeli consensus, he could be forcing Israel to put its leaders and, in essence, his peace plan up for a vote. Wyatt Andrews, CBS News, Jerusalem.
President Reagan says he does not think a strategic arms treaty will be ready in time for his spring summit in Moscow with Soviet leader Gorbachev. In an interview with the Washington Post, Mr. Reagan said before he leaves office, he does expect to sign a START agreement, cutting long-range nuclear arsenals in half. The Senate will vote today on whether to end the Republican-led filibuster against a campaign finance reform bill. Congressional correspondent Phil Jones reports the necessary 60 votes don't appear to be there.
The primary GOP objection has been over the provision that would limit campaign spending. Republicans like Cohen of Maine have reacted bitterly to attacks on the GOP.
The way in which it's being portrayed is that Democrats are for honor, Republicans are for dishonor. Democrats are for honesty, Republicans stand for corruption.
Senate Democratic Leader Byrd has promised to pull the bill from the floor if he doesn't win the vote today to end the filibuster. But Byrd warns...
Campaign finance reform. That has been the issue, and it will continue to be the issue until it is one day resolved. Running from the issue won't make it go away.
Democrats have lost this battle, but they now think they have won a campaign issue to be used against the Republicans. Phil Jones, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
A 10th soldier has died as a result of yesterday's crash of an Army transport helicopter near Chico, Texas. 8 others were injured. The dollar is lower overseas. The London gold fix, $432.65 the ounce. And on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is ahead, 3.81 at 2021.38. It's 10 past 7.